Episode 72.
Well, the 21st century shop, it has to have some sort of ongoing educational process for their employees. And I'm not just talking about the technicians, even the service consultants and those in the front end of the building as well. The most successful shops you're going to find have several commonalities. You had mentioned the 20 groups. Another one is an appreciation for a knowledge culture. You know, the only truly sustainable competitive advantage is knowledge.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results On Point, focusing on a single topic with a guest who goes on point with the subject matter. Welcome, aftermarketers. Carm Capriotto here with episode 72. I want to thank you so much for being a listener and being here, where you'll find strong content and fresh ideas each week for your inspiration. Ever thought about what it would be like to run a repair shop of the future? I'm sure you've thought about what changes you'll need to implement and stay relevant as the future unfolds. Well, in this episode with Automotive Service Association Vice President Tony Mala, he's going to focus on what he sees are the needs and challenges in running a service repair business into the 21st century. Tony sets up trends and requirements necessary to drive success in the future. He brings an excellent perspective on the need for a learning culture. He talks about the impact of technology and why networking through industry involvement is so important. He'll guide you in the need to create educational opportunities for service writers and technicians, but most important, business management education for shop owners. Tony also discusses the need for internships, mentoring, the need to embrace the millennial workforce, and the value of the STEM program in high schools today. You will also benefit from the talk on succession planning and why you will need to run a more professional and upscale business as we move through the 21st century. See the show notes page for a complete bio on my guest, Tony Mala. Here we go. Tony, I met you at Detroit at Nace Cars. I saw you on a panel and I was so impressed that you and I got together and said, hey, let's do a podcast episode on the repair shop of the 21st century. So I've got some really tough questions for you since you're a resident expert. What's the top three most critical areas that every service professional must work on to survive into the next decade?
Well, information is king. A shop has to have proper equipment, proper information access, and certainly properly trained individuals to be successful. That's a combination of elements that really hasn't changed much over the years. The difference is the amount of information that a shop has to deal with and the amount of technology that an individual shop has to deal with, not just in the service bay, but also in the business management side of things.
So if a shop owner right now is kind of stuck in neutral, got a nice slice of advice to give them to say, hey, if there's anything you're going to do right now to help set your shop up, do this.
If there was any piece of advice I could give a shop owner who was just getting started in the business or is wondering how to take their business to the next level, I would have to say get involved with something like a 20 group or some sort of a program that you where you're talking to other successful business owners. There are certain antitrust rules that prevent you from doing that with your direct competitors, but many organizations offer something like a 20 group involvement where a shop can learn from other businesses, what the most successful best practices are. The second thing is, if you're going to be a shop owner today, you really need to be engaged. Things are happening so quickly, and the information that needs that you have are growing so fast that really something like an association membership goes far beyond just being a group of benefits, if you will. That is really your information watering hole where you can stay up with the latest in management techniques and training that's available to help improve your business and finding those resources such as 20 groups that are really going to help your business sing.
I've interviewed a lot of ASA members and I sometimes on record or off record, I say, so what's the benefit? And they say, well, the legislation thing is important, but the biggest, most important part that they get is the camaraderie. It's getting out. It's going to the conferences. It's going to the meetings. It's going to Nace Cars and getting engaged and being a part of the industry. And every time I seem to interview, the successful entrepreneurs that I do interview, that's the key. One of the keys is they belong to a 20 group or they've either been coached or are coaching, and it seems to be the magic elixir.
Oh, absolutely. We call that networking, by the way, and it is the single most important thing you can do. You know, staying connected, and we are in a connected society. The internet has brought communications capabilities to us that simply didn't exist even 10 years ago. And with everything moving so quickly, you really need to be able to take advantage of the latest technology just to keep up. Forget about staying ahead of the curve. So again, the resources that you need are to be successful are many. And sometimes, you know, we have a saying in the automotive industry, you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
And that's where involvement in something like a 20 group can help you, you know, ask questions that you may not have even known how to ask. And that's the real value of the networking.
I wasn't sure if it was you or someone else talked about a learning culture. And then I heard you say, school has them for 12 years and industry has them for 50. What are we doing about that? And who's in charge of managing the flow of knowledge?
Well, the 21st century shop, it has to have some sort of ongoing educational process for their employees. And I'm not just talking about the technicians, even the service consultants and those in the front end of the building as well.
Mm-hmm.
So the most successful shops you're going to find have several commonalities. You had mentioned the 20 groups. Another one is an appreciation for a knowledge culture. You know, the only truly sustainable competitive advantage is knowledge. You can buy the same equipment as the next, you know, as a shop down the street, but the secret is in knowing how to use it most effectively. And that knowing how to do things most effectively pervades the entire business enterprise from one end to the other.
How many hours do you feel a technician in the 21st century shop are going to need to invest every year to stay current?
You know, that's a question I've been hearing asked for my entire career. How much is enough? How many hours should I be training a year just to keep up? And really, there's been lots of different estimates. I've heard estimates of 40 hours a year. I've heard estimates of 10 hours a month, you know, minimum, which would be even more than that. But I honestly think that in order to stay current, it's not a question of X number of hours per year. It's a question of taking advantage of training opportunities as they arise. And I think if your shop, again, a 21st century shop, has to be cognizant of career development for their employees if they want to keep them. This is particularly true of the millennials coming up. They want to be part of the organization. They don't just want to be an employee.
Right.
And in order to keep them sharp, and this, again, this is true whether you're talking about repair shops or GE, you know, the most successful businesses and corporations understand that they have to have educational opportunities available simply to develop the talents of their existing workforce. It's no different in the automotive service industry and the automotive service bay.
So, Tony, I usually ask of my entrepreneur interviews how many hours, and I hear a lot of 40s. I hear a bunch of 20s. I hear incentives once they reach the 20 mark. I hear that the techs drag each other. I hear the owner finds the training that's necessary. So there is an awful lot of learning culture going on out there. And I guess the point is that there may just not be enough. And then the next question that I ask is, where are you finding your future techs? And that's where the blank stares come in, and that's where the head scratches come in. And so you're passionate about mentoring programs. I hear you mention intern programs. How can a shop owner start one, and how will the industry get the message out, like you say, about the STEM, the level of education that's necessary in the future techs? I mean, you're passionate about it. I want to give you the stage.
Well, I'll tell you, everybody talks about high-tech careers. And as defined by, I believe it was the University of Michigan, being an automotive service technician is a very high-tech career based on what you're dealing with and the equipment that you use and the training that you need. But you've touched on the single most critical need the industry has. Where are we going to find the talent that we need? The smart shop owners, I know you've interviewed Trish Serator at NATEF.
Mm-hmm.
National Automotive Technicians Education Foundation has an internship program.
Yep.
And they have over 2,000 schools across the country that an individual shop can find on the internet at natef.org, N-A-T-E-F.org, And find a local career and technology education program in their area and actually join their advisory council and become part of the process of offering internships to the best and the brightest of those students coming out of these programs. So once a student gets into a shop, you can't just hand them a broom and you know, send them back to the school 2 weeks later. That's not what you want to do. You want to attach them to an experienced technician that can serve as a mentor. I benefited, many of us have, from individuals, you know, the old saying is you stand on the shoulders of giants. I benefited from many individuals throughout the throughout my career that have taken the time to take me under their wing and show me the ropes or, you know, teach me what I needed to know,
either through
example or through direct instruction. The same is true for the shops. You know, again, when I was first got into the business, the way we used to find people is we'd take a kid off the street and kind of grow our own. There's still an element of that within the shop where you have to continuously develop your technicians, keep their technical skills up to date. But it's that initial entry level that really is most critical. And we do have an infrastructure in the country for providing the entry level technicians that we need. But far too few shops take advantage of that. It's somewhat surprising to me that it is such an obvious and well, you know, a well-known problem. But I run into many shops that are kind of confused as to exactly how to deal with it.
So why? And the only thing I could think of is that they don't want to spend the money. Is that possible?
Well, there's lots of reasons I would imagine why an individual wouldn't. Again, the best shops are already doing it. The smart shops are already doing it. Car dealers take advantage of the internship program in a very big way.
Do shop owners think that if they take on a mentoring candidate or they mentor someone – that they have to hire that person?
I imagine some may, but that's not the case.
Right.
In fact, one of our ASE members or ASA members, Pete Rudloff in Delaware, has his own internship program or apprenticeship program where he'll take an individual from a training program and again, pay them and train them up to a point where they become very productive within about 12 months. And this is something he does for his own business. And again, sometimes they stay, sometimes they move on. It really doesn't matter if they move on as long as you have a pipeline of individuals to replace them. And Pete has such a well-developed program and is frankly such a great place to work. He very rarely loses any of the interns he gets. But there's, you know, there's no requirement to hire them. No, if it's not working out, you can simply, you know, have their internship program and then they just go back to the program.
I love what you just said. Bring them in. And even if they leave in a year, like you said, if you build, you need to always build bench strength. Mm-hmm. And the bench strength could be someone you mentored a few years back who now wants to come back over or tried something somewhere and said, hey, I had a great relationship with you. It was a great place to work. I'd like to come and work for you. So it's almost like train the bird, let it fly, but maybe one day it'll come back.
And that's a somewhat typical situation. I've had many shop owners tell me that's exactly what has happened in their case, where they had a kid in for an internship for the summer, and then it was a freshman. They were still training, so they had to go back to school. But 2 years later, when they finished their program, they came back and said, look, I really had a wonderful experience here. You know, would you consider hiring me? And again, most shops probably won't. Everybody's always looking for talent, okay? And the smart shops, as you had mentioned, develop their bench strength. Most businesses that are looking for technicians or are looking to have a mentorship program, the reason they are is because they have an opening within the shop. You know, there's a statistic that I heard. The average age of individuals fixing cars and trucks in our country right now, the average ASE certified technician is about 42.
Wow.
The average age of the technicians in the shop are probably, you know, somewhere a little bit north of that number. But, you know, the baby boomers started retiring at the rate of 10,000 a day, 3 years ago?
Yeah.
And 50% of our workforce are considered baby boomers. So we have a tremendous opportunity for individuals coming into the industry and businesses that are going to need help simply because individuals are going to be retiring. It's normal attrition.
Getting out and speaking to parents, speaking to guidance counselors, that's got to be one of the strategies that a shop owner must do.
Oh, absolutely. I do at least 4 or 5 career days a year throughout the country in my normal, you know, course of my job with ASA. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, it's one of the most important things I think I do. And, you know, it gives you the opportunity to kind of touch the future, which I find very, very compelling. And I worry a little bit about the knowledge transfer that may not be happening within our industry, that that we probably need to do a better job of you know, making sure that that occurs.
Got it. I want to talk about technology inside the business from a marketing perspective. Is the smartphone a critical business tool?
I personally believe the smartphone is a critical life tool at this point in time. And, you know, coming from someone who started in this business working on a manual Royal typewriter, you know, before electronic ignitions even, I mean, if you think about the tremendous growth of technology, you know, just over the past few years, it's incredible.
Hunting and pecking, were you a full typist?
Yeah. I was actually, believe it or not, the most important skill I learned in high school was how to touch type. Who knew, right?
Yeah.
This is way before computers. But I actually, because I was a journalist, you know, for 20 years, I actually type so quickly when I'm typing and kind of getting into it. Most people think I'm fooling around because my fingers are moving so.
I'll bet you that when you took typing in high school, you were the only guy in the class.
Actually, I went to an all-boys high school, so that was not the problem.
Well, okay. I take that back.
Yeah, you St. Know, James, Chester, PA. Yeah, yeah.
You talk about the smartphone, and we had an episode on with Greg Buckley, and I believe he's a member, and we talked all about the smartphone and tablets and the critical tool that that smartphone is to a business, not only today, but will be as part of the future. So I know you're passionate about that.
Yeah, that technology, there's talk of like on-demand training where an individual would have the information delivered. And a smartphone is as good a delivery mechanism as a tablet or anything else in some cases.
Yeah.
So I think technology, perhaps as represented by the smartphone, really is something that we're going to be seeing more and more of in the service bay. And we see a lot of it already. Mm. Well, you know, there's one thing I would like to add about the parental side of things. One of the reasons that I think all of the trades are struggling in the U.S. is we've kind of developed a societal bias against the trades. And that's unfortunate because most parents don't understand that STEM careers, as they're called, can be every bit as rewarding, in fact, even more so than some, you know, four-year degrees. And in fact, again, a lot of the STEM degrees are 4 years themselves now. And I think one of the challenges we have as an industry, and this is being addressed by several associations, ASA and the Auto Care Association are just two of them. When most people think of a career in the automotive industry, they tend to think of the service bay and sort of stop there. And I'm a great example where a technical background can be a gateway to a much larger world. And I got to tell you, there are so many opportunities available to an individual with a technical background within the automotive industry. It's just incredible. Again, I'm an example of what you can do if you, you know, take advantage of opportunities as they arise and you have the right skill set. And most importantly, you keep learning. I think that's key. As long as you're continuously learning and as long as you're continuously striving to improve your skill set, you're never going to have a problem regardless of what career you're in.
I can envision one day, Tony, that a young person's going to their 20th high school reunion and goes up to a friend comes up to him and says, "Hey, boy, you were a geek programmer. I'll bet you right now you're programming video games." And he says, "No, I'm working on cars."
Yeah.
Because his talent was exactly what was necessary.
Sure. And I have to tell you, some of the most talented individuals I know, compared with anyone else, are automotive technicians. They are extremely capable individuals. And they have to be because they're dealing with some of the most cutting edge technology we have on the market. You know, I'm reminded of, you may have seen that GE commercial where the programmer announces to his friends that he's working for GE and they don't get it. You know, what you mean you're not going to be developing stuff? No, I will be, you know. And I think that same situation with parents these days. I think that we don't take advantage of the wide range of opportunities that are available in the automotive industry. And I think if more parents knew that, then, you know, the more individuals we'd have looking at our industry. I talk to counselors a lot. And, you know, it's funny, whenever I start talking about all the different opportunities we have, it's like you taught them how to make fire. You know, they're just amazed. And again, I definitely think it's worth a look, particularly because let's face it, college is not for everybody. You've heard people say that, and it's absolutely true. different individuals learn in different ways. Some of us are tactile learners, and some of us have a strong interest in things mechanical or, frankly, things electronic.
Right, right, right.
And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, it can be quite lucrative.
Okay. So the shop of the 21st century, when you're talking to a boomer and you say the shop of the 21st century, they may yawn and say, I'm almost out of here. And so boomers are ready to sell. Who's the buyers?
Well, I'll tell you, we're seeing a shift in the makeup of exactly who is managing a repair business. The old stereotype is, you know, a young technician works 20 and buys the shop from his former boss and runs it himself. That still happens. But what we're seeing more and more are young entrepreneurs that don't know anything about automotive mechanics or being an automotive technician, that are good business management people that are seeing a viable business, building on that business's success, hiring the right people. Again, no mystery here.
Right.
And finding the talent they need to do the various technical things that need to be done, but at the same time, bringing very sound business management practices to the equation.
So an MBA entrepreneur will buy multiple places and what, run them like a little dealership maybe?
Sure. Multi-shop, we call them MSOs.
Yeah.
Very common in the collision industry and becoming more common in the mechanical repair industry, where an individual would own more than one shop and they replicate their best practices across that entire enterprise and are very successful in doing so. But, you know, you asked about 21st century shop, what's different. I think any successful shop, aside from having the right people, the most important critical thing they're going to have, as I mentioned, is the information resources and the correct tooling. You know, an independent repair shop is every bit as capable of diagnosing and repairing a vehicle as a car dealer might be, given the fact that they have the correct equipment, they have the right individual with the proper training, and they have access to the information. All things being equal, you know, the talent of that individual holding the wrench, doesn't matter what facility they're working in, whether it's a chain store, an independent shop, a dealership, a trained individual will always be able to cope with whatever comes down the road as long as they have the right equipment and information. And that's the secret of success for the 21st century shop.
So is the service repair economy going to be good in that next decade?
Well, if you look at demographically, we very much grew up in a do-it-yourself society, if you will. Nowadays, when a consumer opens the hood of their car, what they see is another hood. Everything's covered with plastic.
Yep.
It's there for a reason. They don't want you touching anything.
Right.
But the aging demographic naturally turns into more of what we call a do-it-for-me, D-I-F-M, society. And we are seeing, as the baby boomers age, we are definitely seeing an uptick, particularly when you couple it with the fact that the average age of the vehicle is growing. So right now, vehicles are in double digits, the average age of the cars, and they tend to need not more service, but certainly maintenance, regular maintenance, just to keep that vehicle safe and functional.
What else, Tony? What haven't we covered here that I think the future holds?
Well, I think if you're talking about the 21st century shop, you know, what I said earlier about a learning culture, a mm-hmm. knowledge culture,
yep.
applies every bit as much to the business owner as it does to the individuals working in the enterprise.
Yeah, right.
But I think more and more we're seeing a shift towards, you know, again, more reliance on networking, more reliance on best practices as gathered by involvement in things like 20 groups and associations and other professional connections that help you continue to learn and build on your management and business acumen as you would want your technicians to build on their technical expertise as the cars get more complicated. And I think we're going to be seeing a lot more of more formal business management types of practices coming to the fore in the shop management suite. And the businesses are going to be run more professionally. They're going to be a lot more upscale than they, if you want to think of it that way,
sure,
than they ever
yeah,
have been before.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I personally think it's going to be very difficult to tell the difference visually between a large independent repair shop and a car dealership very, very soon. Because the same practices are in place. Large, clean, well-lit, well-equipped, you know, well-trained
yep.
Individuals. Working on very, very complicated and in most cases, fairly expensive pieces of equipment.
So don't go it alone could be the summary here.
Teamwork is key, you know, in life and in business. I think nobody has all of the answers themselves, but together we can do a whole lot more than we can individually.
Tony Mala, Vice President ASA. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Carm, for the opportunity. I look forward to talking again soon.
Thank you, man.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.